I think these insurance companies are going to say, you can't rebuild here because we won't insure your structure. It's just too risky. Because they're trying to get people to believe this is the new normal. These new, fast-spreading, anomalous, unprecedented fires are now the new normal. I think this is all related to Agenda 21, United Nations Agenda 21, which the agenda is to get people out of the suburbs into huge regional megacities. And their goal is to rewild California and ultimately rewild the United States.
Episode of the Sharpening Report. I am your host, Sam Johnson. You're found on YouTube, iTunes, Blog Talk, and you can find me at Twitter at Sam T. Johnson. As you can see or hear, we are doing audio only today because we are joined by someone who does not fall into the trap of the mainstream media, someone who does not get caught in corruption, but speaks the truth and just does the research like he's supposed to. We're talking to Sean from SGT Report. They are the antidote for the corporate mainstream propaganda. So, Sean, how are you doing today?
I'm good. Thanks for inviting me on, Sam.
Yeah, it's a pleasure to have you. You do some great work over on your channel. So before we get started too much into our topics, which will probably center around Q a little bit, can you tell me a little bit about yourself? How'd you get into starting the SGT report?
Well, I had an awakening and kind of shattered my false right-left paradigm. When Bush and Cheney were in office, and Cheney was getting all those no-bid contracts for Halliburton after 9/11, and it just nothing added up, and nothing about the official story of 9/11 added up. And then I discovered the footage of World Trade Center 7 falling at free fall speed at 5:25 in the afternoon. And then I learned that the BBC reported about the collapse of that building, which they called the Solomon Building. They reported about the collapse of the building 20 minutes early before it collapsed. And then I knew that the official story couldn't be true. So the awakening was slow and gradual over time. I got obsessed with investigating 9/11. And everywhere I turned, there were only more questions and fewer answers, none of which supported the official story. And so then I decided to start putting up content on YouTube, and it was a labor of love. Somebody said you should start a website, so I did that. And I've got a journalism degree, so that is part of my background, of course. But it's just a drive for truth and a drive to expose the blatant criminality that has gripped our republic, I guess, that was the spark of all of it.
Yeah, well, you've been doing it for quite a while. Have you noticed a change so it's been about, 15 or 16 years since you've really started doing this. What changes have you seen as you've progressed through your career?
Well, you know what? I actually didn't put up my first YouTube video until late 2010, early 2011. So the awakening process, you know, for me really started in probably 03, 04 is really when I started asking hardcore questions. I didn't put up my first YouTube video until probably 2011, but you know, the change I've seen is that, fewer and fewer people, are willing to believe the corporate mockingbird mainstream media. Their, approval rating is as low, if not lower, than Congress's approval rating. It's abysmal. CNN is, I like to say, State Department talking points. So if you want to know what the deep state or the shadow government thinks, just watch CNN, watch Wolf Blitzer, you know, watch Anderson Cooper. And the change I've seen is that now there are far, far more truth-telling voices on YouTube, and there's more alt-media websites than there ever were. It was kind of a lonely space when I started in 11 and 12. There weren't that many alt-media websites, and there certainly were far, far fewer truth-tellers on YouTube. And now it's become quite a space on YouTube. There's lots and lots of good people out there doing good work.
Yeah, for now at least, as long as we can keep at it, then we're going to. And it's funny that you see that decline in the mainstream. You know, even some people like to hop on the Fox News bandwagon, but recently you've seen them jump on, you know, backing CNN over over Trump at least. And people are more willing to follow a mysterious voice on the internet named Q nowadays than they are the mainstream media, which is really fascinating. And you do a lot of work over on your channel talking about the different aspects that Q arises. So with this, the midterms just ending and then Sessions getting fired, there's a lot of people starting to question whether Q is a legitimate voice. Do you still believe it's someone that we can trust?
Well, we're going to find out, aren't we? I mean, Q has said, let the unsealing begin, post 2478. Let the D-class begin. And of course, he's referring to the FISA documents, because we know that these criminals, the deep state, went to the FISA court and they got a judge to approve wiretapping Trump, while he was a candidate. Completely illegal. Everything they say that he's guilty of is exactly what they're guilty of. They're guilty of the collusion. They baked the whole Russiagate thing. They built that fable out of thin air using Christopher Steele. They baked the phony dossier, Fusion GPS, essentially hired by Hillary Clinton and the DNC. Everything they accuse the president of is what they themselves are guilty of. And we see CNN continue to run cover for the deep state. I think if anything is going to make your blood boil, like it makes my blood boil, Sam, it's just watch CNN. Bring on mockingbirds to run cover for the deep state, when those of us that are paying attention know exactly who the criminals are. And Q has said, we know who the criminals are, too. We have it all. So now we need to see, will this president declass the FISA documents? Because those documents are going to show, the unredacted documents will show exactly what these deep state criminals were up to. And that should bring down the whole house of cards. So as to Q and is Q real or not real, people can make up their own minds about that. Go to QProofs.com. There's been many, many, many instances of things that really are far-fetched to be coincidences. In the Q posts, there are things that make us believe that Q is a conglomerate, probably more than one person, a group of white hats. Maybe it's just one person, but I tend to think it's several white hats that are closely associated to the president. So we shall see whether or not Q is real. I'll tell you this, though, Sam, if Q is not real, if none of this stuff comes to fruition, if we don't see any high level arrests of the deep state criminals, it's game over for the Republic. But as Q has said time and time again, it would have been game over for the Republic if the witch had gotten into the White House. He says those people are pure evil. And I believe it. I've quantified it in many, many videos, including snippets from the Weather Underground infiltrator, Larry Grothwell, who said their plan was to exterminate 20 to 30 million Americans that couldn't be re-educated to the new ways of thinking, the communist ways of thinking. So if Q is not real, it's game over for the Republic. If these things he says are going to come to pass don't, it's game over. But it would have been game over if the witch had gotten into the White House, and Q says it would have been hell on earth. And I firmly believe that. Think George Soros globalist talking points. Think about that George Soros Rothschild globalist agenda. Think UN Agenda 21. Think higher taxes. Think open borders. Seizing our guns and ending the Second Amendment. It truly would have been hell on earth. So we're very blessed that the witch is not in the White House.
Yeah, definitely. We definitely are. So a question for you. I've watched your videos. You do a lot of effort in finding resources to back up what you're saying. You do a great job of you know, everything you say, you want to make sure it's backed up by credible sources. So for me, one hang up I've always had with the Q phenomenon is it's just trusting an anonymous voice, it seems like, at any cost. So it kind of contradicts the drive to find proof and credible sources. So can you help me get over that hurdle a little bit?
Well, you know, Q likes to say dig deeper. And I think that's the key. I think one of the things that Q does, which is very helpful, is Q posts names, places, times, dates. Q is constantly reminding us of things that are historical fact. Providing us names and giving us the impetus to go and research those things further, to connect the dots. So I think that there is actually quite a bit of substance behind the things that Q has posted, and it's caused many anons. It's encouraged many anons to dig into areas that otherwise may have not gotten dug into by these alternative media researchers and these anons. And it has actually, I think, produced a lot of fruit. So I think that Q actually does do a pretty good job of directing those of us who are going to do further research to go back and relook at things that will show their crimes, the crimes of the deep state. Go back and look at things. Look at these names. Look at these places. Look at these connections. These the whole thing, it tends to be connected. You know, Adam Schiff, for instance, is a name that comes up time and time again. And he's a hardcore criminal. And then when you dig into his past and you dig into, for instance, his connection to the Standard Hotel, there's lots of things that come up that make you realize that these people may well be, quote unquote, pure evil, as Q says. So I think Q does a good job at getting people to dig into areas that may that we may otherwise miss.
Yeah, definitely. That's a good point. You see, you know, comparing that to the mainstream media, where a lot of the times they just end their conversations, well, you should just trust us. Don't even bother looking. You know, it's just like that type of stuff you want to avoid. So that's really encouraging to hear. One thing that you spoke about earlier was, you know, the all these documents that are supposedly sealed up that Trump is going to release. And so if those documents really exist, why do you think that Trump hasn't released them yet?
Well, we know that the documents exist for the FISA court warrant that was issued. Parts of those documents, I think, were released, but they were heavily redacted. And I think what needs to happen here, which Q is suggesting, is that full declass of those documents will bring the House down. And, you know, that's sort of a play on words, bringing down the House of Cards. But essentially, it could bring the House down, right? So the Democrats have stolen, I think, to a large degree, these recent midterm elections. They're in the process of trying to steal Senate seats. I guess they stole one from in Arizona, is my opinion. They completely stole that. But these FISA documents may bring the House down in the sense that it may expose people like, well, Adam Schiff, Maxine Waters, and others who have been involved in the crimes of the deep state and the cover-up of the crimes of the deep state. So that's what needs to happen. It needs to happen within the next month and a half or two before these new House members are sworn in. The documents have to be released ASAP. I'm a little surprised they haven't already been released. So we're keeping an eye on that, because if the FISA documents are not fully declassified and released to the public, I think it really puts a kink in this whole Q armor.
Mm. Yeah. So what would be the reason for Trump to not have already done that? Like, what would be the purpose for him holding it close to his chest?
Well, I don't know. You'd have to ask the president. I mean, I can't presume to guess, yeah. But, you know, I mean, certainly he's got his hands full on a daily basis, on a daily minute by minute basis, being attacked by everyone on Twitter. Not everyone, but if you look at his Twitter feed, it makes absolutely zero sense that the president, every time he tweets something out, the responses on his own Twitter feed are always extremely negative.
Mm-hmm.
Look at his rallies. Look at how much support he has. How does it make any sense that his Twitter feed is always clogged? You know, the most visible responses are from his detractors and his haters on the left. It makes no sense. So he's quite busy, I think, defending himself on a variety of different levels. So I suppose he needs to get the I's dotted and T's crossed before those documents are released. I just know it has to happen in the next 6 to 7 weeks.
Yeah, well, we definitely should hope so. And you mentioned voter fraud. So I want to go back, because that's the main topic coming from both sides. The Democrats and the Republicans are both claiming voter fraud on each side because they feel like they've lost certain seats in different locations. And to me, this type of situations, like, I try to find the goal. It's like, why is there so much arguing? What's the purpose of this? And it's easy to say, well, the Republicans are the good guys, so we're just trying, they were taken away. But to me, it's almost like an effort to just remove the credibility of voting as a whole, to try to force us into a new way of getting people into power, and probably a more nefarious way in the end of it.
Yeah. So if you want to talk about the elections, I'm not exactly sure what your question was, but I will say this. You know, you're going to have the left say there's no voter fraud. you know, as it pertains to them stealing votes. Take Broward County, for instance. Broward County is one of Debbie Wasserman Schultz's districts. Debbie Wasserman Schultz is a hardcore criminal who, I'm actually not sure how she hasn't been arrested or drummed out of the House. I'm not sure how she's still a viable politician, and she just was reelected by these insane people in Florida. They probably have these voting machines rigged, and that's why she got back in. But here's the thing. She had to resign as the chair of the DNC because they got caught rigging the vote in the primaries and stealing the primary from Bernie Sanders and handing the nomination to Hillary Clinton. They are caught doing that. So we already know that they are election riggers. They're thieves. They're dishonest. And what we're seeing down in Broward County with this unending vote count in Brenda Snipes is absolutely just beyond the pale. It's just so obviously not a fair election. It's not running the way an election is supposed to be running. The counts aren't being done in a timely manner. They're finding mystery ballots, boxes and boxes of new votes or ballots are showing up. Brenda Snipes is in contempt of a court order to show the chain of custody that she was supposed to show. I think it was back on it might have been Sunday night at 7 o'clock or Monday night at 7 o'clock. I forget which. And she didn't do it. So she's in contempt of court. She still hasn't been arrested. I mean, these elections are starting to raise lots and lots of questions for those of us who actually care about a fair and honest process. It's clear that in some areas of the country, it's not a fair and honest process. And you're right. You're going to get the right saying the left is cheating and the left is going to say the right is cheating. I think at some point, some federal apparatus, some government apparatus needs to step in and blow this thing wide open. And Q is saying that the midterms are safe. So I don't even know what that means at this point, right? Q is saying false news, optics, false majority, blue wave. There was no blue wave. Blue wave optics, no voter irregularities, nothing to see here, fake news. Voter irregularities challenge equals conspiracy. The whole thing at this point, I think, it's making me angry. Is it making you angry as you see these votes across the country start to flip? And whereas people, liberals, conceded on election night, now they're finding mystery boxes of ballots, and now they're declared the winner 3-4 days later. I mean, it's absolutely enraging.
Yeah, it almost seems like they're prolonging the recount so they can take time to fill out more ballots as they go along. It's absolutely insane. And then on top of that, you have the wildfires in California, oddly enough, happening right during the same time. And I know many people are kind of pointing as like, maybe that's trying to do some misdirection for, and even some people pointing out the fact that there might be like direct energy weapons used over there just to distract people from the voter fraud that's going on. Do you see any truth behind that?
Excuse me, I coughed there. I'm glad you brought that up. Actually, I've been spending a lot of time on that recently. The fires in California are extremely, extremely concerning. And we're having this conversation on the 14th. And tonight I'll be posting a new video about those fires and about PG&E's culpability. And it may shock people to know that on PG&E's board, or I guess part of their leadership, is a man named Roger H. Kimmel. And Roger H. Kimmel is the vice chairman of Rothschild Bank, Rothschild Inc. And it's extremely disturbing to find that out, that Rothschild has essentially the control of PG&E. And look, I think the easiest way to say this, I don't know if directed energy weapons have been used in these fires, but they're very anomalous fires. The most recent fire, the most destructive fire prior to last year's fire in Santa Rosa, the most destructive California fire was in 1991, and it destroyed 2,900 structures. The fire in Santa Rosa destroyed somewhere in the neighborhood of 5,700 structures, almost double, and that's somewhat 27 years later. Wow. These fires are extremely anomalous, and I think what we're going to discover is that as they burn down these suburbs and burn people out of these communities, people may get their checks from the insurance companies. But my bet is the insurance companies, probably many of them Rothschild controlled. If anybody wants to figure out the wealth of the Rothschilds, just Google my video. It's on YouTube. It's called Rothschild's Trillions Quantified. I think these insurance companies are going to say, you can't rebuild here because we won't insure your structure. It's just too risky. Because they're trying to get people to believe this is the new normal. These new fast-spreading, anomalous, unprecedented fires are now the new normal, we're supposed to believe, right? And I think this is all related to Agenda 21, United Nations Agenda 21 policies, which the agenda is to get people out of the suburbs into huge regional megacities. And their goal is to rewild California and ultimately rewild the United States. And I guess they are, in my opinion, I know that the Rothschilds in this shadow government, this global government that they seek to implement, I know they're very, very nefarious. Look no further than what happened on 9/11 to understand how nefarious and evil these people are capable of being. Would it shock anybody to discover that they may also be so nefarious that they're willing to use fires to get people out of the suburbs and off the land and into huge megacities? I don't think it's beyond the stretch to make that leap. And then you see this CBS report, CBS Morning News report that I played in my last video, and I'm going to include it again in this new video I'm releasing tonight. CBS News says that PG&E had a problem, quote unquote, a problem right before these fires began, these new fires. They're calling the campfire. By the way, isn't the language funny? It's the most devastating fire California's ever seen, and it's called a campfire.
Yeah.
And it destroyed paradise. You don't think that's a play on language? I mean, these people are super, super sick. And if you really want to get angry, start hunting for the video of the skeletons in cars as people were burned alive trying to escape these hideous fires.
Yeah, that's I've seen that video. It is something that you really need to prepare yourself for if you're going to watch it. But that's an interesting way to look at the fires. You know, I hadn't linked it to Agenda 21, but that really makes a lot of sense. So try to extrapolate that further to try to prepare ourselves for what the future has. Obviously, this is going to be a speculation-based question. But, you know, are we going to start seeing things that drop, you know, in other locations like the Midwest? Is there going to be, you know, an extreme winter to drive everyone towards, you know, cities again? Is that something that we need to start looking for going forward?
Well, I'm not sure what kind of weather weapons they might use around the country, but these weather weapons are real. They exist. And I just want to circle back to California for a second, too, because I want people to understand that PG&E had a very willing, complicit politician in their pocket too, and his name is Governor Jerry Brown. Now, Jerry Brown signed a bill back here in September, I believe, of this year, that is going to allow these utilities, which at the very, very least are incompetent, but more likely are malevolent. This bill will allow PG&E, who is responsible in part for the fire in 2017, part of those Santa Rosa fires, they have been ruled by fire investigators as being responsible for at least some of those fires. And this governor, prior to these new fires, signed a bill allowing PG&E to bill their customers for future lawsuit costs and payouts related to the fires. So, I mean, does that sound familiar? It sounds exactly like what happened during the TARP bailouts in 2008. The same exact criminals that caused the problem get the bailout. And that's exactly what's happening here for PG&E and these fires. So I don't know what other weather weapons they may use to roll out UN Agenda 21 compliance around the country. But to me, and it is some speculation, I mean, I've shared with you some facts here about PG&E's culpability and Jerry Brown's complicity in their crimes and helping PG&E not go bankrupt by just billing the customers for the very damage that PG&E is responsible for. But I think it is all related to Agenda 21, and these weather weapons are real, And who knows what they're going to do? I mean, they've to some degree telegraphed what they're going to do in some of these, you know, ridiculous movies they make, you know,
yeah.
With these, you know, horrific, you know, nonsensically, like, you know, The Rock appears in these movies about, you know, these earthquakes that, you know, I mean, literally turn the entire, you know, Los Angeles County into, you know, a hellhole in a matter of minutes. That's a stretch. But again, they it's almost as though they've prepped the minds of the public through these Hollywood movies, right? It's like predictive programming. And they tell us now that these unprecedentedly horrific fires are the new normal. We hear that in the news and media time and time again, the new normal, the new normal, the new normal. So I really think they're prepping people for horrific weather events in the future. What exactly those weather events will be, I don't know. But I think these fires are very, very suspect, and I'm not the only one. There are many, many people who live out in California who are saying they've never seen anything like this in their lives ever. And, you know, as it relates to the Santa Rosa fire, they were surrounded by fire out of nowhere at 1 a.m. without any warning. And that clip from that survivor will be in my new video again tonight, too. Very, very anomalous fires.
Yeah, definitely. You know, things come to my mind is back in the day when I used to have TV, watching programs on the Discovery Channel of, oh, it's only a matter of time before this big destructive thing happens. One, you know, like the San Andreas Fault. It's only a matter of time before the worst eruption earthquake ever happens. Or think of Yellowstone, the worst volcano eruption ever could, you know, push us all in one direction. So I think those events that they've been calling for many, many, many years are important to keep an eye on when you're talking about, you know, Agenda 21 and trying to force us into certain locations. But one question that always comes when we talk about events like this as we begin to wrap up is, what can we do about it? What can the average person do about these type of things?
Well, it's important for people to get informed, and it's important for people, especially in California, to do what Grindall 61 does. I think his name is it Gary Glindahl? I forget his last name, but Gary, I've interviewed him before. Go to YouTube and subscribe to Grindahl 61. He does excellent activist work. He goes to the meetings where these Agenda 21 policies are being rolled out. He videotapes them. He challenges the politicians on a local level to wake up. Some of them are culpable and complicit, and some of them just they don't know any better. Right. And so a lot of them are going along with these Agenda 21 plans because maybe they don't know any better. But the point is that people, especially in California, people need to get involved because Grindahl 61 has shown time and time again. He goes to these meetings and sometimes he's the only one there, or he and his partner are the only one there. So nobody from the public is showing up at these meetings to push back. And if people don't get involved, if they don't push back, then these things are going to roll out under the cover of darkness. And before you know it, you're going to be ensnared in the UN Agenda 21 plan that you never voted for, you never wanted, but they rolled it out while nobody was looking.
Well, there you go, guys. Again, someone else saying get involved locally. That's always the message here is you have to get involved locally if you want to change things. So I always let my audience know, or most of the time let my audience know who's coming on the show and who I'm interviewing, so they have an opportunity to ask them questions. And by far and away, the most prevalent question by anyone who knows who you are was, why don't you ever show your face on your videos?
Oh, well, you know what? That actually, there's a couple reasons for that. Number one, when I started doing YouTube videos, I was an executive at Target Corporation. I've shared this before. And my truth telling in the corporate space was already challenging to my career. So I didn't want to necessarily make a spectacle of myself by being on YouTube with my full identity, because I used to shoot commercials. I was a director and executive producer, creative director for Target. And I flew around. I mean, I shot commercials featuring Tiger Woods, among others. It just didn't make sense from a career standpoint for me to be on YouTube when I was had a really great position there at Target. But beyond that, it truly was a labor of love, and I never sought fame. So it wasn't about cult of personality. I didn't want to be the next Alex Jones. Mark Dice is great, but, you know, he's very visible and out there and has sort of become famous as Mark Dice. That was never my goal. Didn't want that. Didn't want to have to go to the mall with my family and always be wondering, or people looking at me because they recognize me. It was never my goal. And I'm really grateful that I did it the way I did it, because the message is what's important, not the personality.
Absolutely. That's very respectable. And it just, you know, lends credence to that trust factor for sure. So as we wrap up, where can people find you and what do you have coming up next?
Hey, well, thanks for being respectful of my time. You know, I had a tight 30 minutes here today, so I really appreciate you keeping an eye on the clock. People can find me over at sgtreport.com. That's the antidote to corporate propaganda, where we post real news items from a variety of trusted sources on a daily basis. You can also, of course, find me on YouTube at sgtreport. I'm on Twitter, very active on Twitter at sgtreport. And I have two other websites, thelibertymill.com and thephaser.com. All of which will keep you busy with challenging narratives, narratives that challenge the official stories given to you on a daily basis by Mockingbird Mainstream, Mockingbirds like Anderson Cooper, who gets paid $12 million a year to essentially lie to the American people and people around the world.
All right, guys, definitely go check him out there. This was kind of a rapid-fire discussion that we had. Not a lot of time to dive deep into certain things, but still a lot of highlights that are important to do your own research on. So I suggest it. Go over to SGT Report and check out his stuff. Please do. And remember, do your own local work. Be involved in your local government. Do your own research. And, you know, we have an opportunity to try to change the tides here. So definitely do that. Thank you, guys. I'm not going to ask you to like, subscribe, or share, but, you know, I appreciate it if you do. I hope you enjoy the show, and I hope that you have a great week.